Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Murder.
Ba-ba-da-ba. Welcome to Death Do Us Part podcast, hosted by my wife, Jamie.
Hello.
And myself, Mark. What up, y'all? Hey.
Mark episode just tried to introduce himself as me.
Yeah, I totally bloopered that.
How'd you even fucking do that? I mean, I call the kids like the dogs.
Right. I don't know. But I called myself Jamie.
Hosted by myself. Jamie. Jamie. That. Dick
shit. Brain fart.
You know what I'm thinking?
What?
What if we go back to the music? I kind of miss it.
Do you?
Yeah. A little bit.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Maybe the people should decide on that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, peeps.
Yeah. I could make a new intro.
Well, the one we have is good, too. Or make a new one. I don't think
I still have the old one.
What? Why?
I don't know. I'd have to find it.
Oh, well, you can't find your ass with two hands on a fucking map, so...
At least I could get gas. You gotta tell the story, because that's amazing.
Okay, so I have to go to an odd gas pump.
Yeah, which
everything
is weird.
Has to be odd.
Yeah,
everything.
Which is weird.
It's not, but, like, I have to hit my car alarm three times. Like, whatever. So I usually go pump 11. You always double down on 11, right?
Right.
Went to the gas station, pulled up to the pump, opened my gas thingy.
And you got me dip.
Yeah, I got to pull the thingy, to open my gas.
And you were thinking about me. You got me dip.
Got you dip. I got Monster. Grabbed some Cheetos. And then got home with 22 miles left in my gas tank because I forgot to get gas like a fucking dipshit.
Oh, that's so amazing.
So now I have to go back out to get gas because it's cold.
Right.
And all I can hear is my dad yelling that you cannot go below a quarter tank
if
it's going to be less than 50 degrees outside.
Exactly. You can't.
I have to go get gas. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Why is our sign on yellow?
I don't know. I don't know where...
Where's the remote?
Right here.
God. You just didn't do... Fuck all, did you?
I tried pressing it, but I think I'm too close to it, so...
Or this is the candle one.
That's the only one we got. Uh-huh.
Guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Huh?
Is it... Whoa.
What? God damn it.
Now I headbutt the fucking microphone. I don't know why it's stuck on yellow.
I don't think this is the right remote.
We gotta find the remote.
I'll look.
All right. Yellow is mellow, but still. We need it flashing. Yeah. We need a disco ball in here.
Let me unplug it. Keep talking.
All right. So Jamie is going to unplug our Death Do Us Part sign to see if she can reset it. Because we need it disco ball-y in here.
Disco ball-y.
Yeah, it flashes. But, like, you could set it on different colors. But it's stuck on yellow right now.
Which I don't like.
I don't like it either. Be careful you don't trip on a wire. Yeah, I don't know if that's the right remote.
It's, or the battery's dead.
Yeah. That too. Just smack it. Smacking it always works.
It does on the TV remote. Doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess it does. You always got to smack it.
Ah.
Oh, there. Oh.
Yeah, but it doesn't stay blue.
Yeah, I know. Oh, there you go.
It doesn't stay.
Oh.
I'll get a battery for the remote.
Yeah, you got to get a battery. Welcome back.
Thanks. God damn it.
I narrated while you were doing that.
I'm in the same room. I heard you. Yeah. Dipshit.
So you know what I did today?
No, I don't want to know.
I accidentally rubbed my eyes with ketchup. Now I have hindsight. You know that's a good one.
So, I love how our listeners,
yeah,
Rebecca, I'm calling your ass out. They try to like secretly sneak you fucking dad jokes.
Yes, they do.
And then they're like, "I'm really sorry, Jamie. I'm really sorry." Yeah,
they do. Uh-huh. Yep, it's true. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one and could not pass it up.
That's because it's stupid.
Oh, shut up. You know it's amazing.
It's pretty stupid.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But,
So I got a brand new batch of EMTs.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, brand new batch of EMTs who got a homicide on their first day again.
Oh, my God. Did they really?
Yeah. Like, the one kid was just beside himself. Like, so excited. I texted
That's
him.
So bad to
I was
say.
Like, hey.
Yes, homicide.
And I get... The dots are making me nervous. And I was like, heard you had a shooting on your first day. And he's like, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, cool. So you have to call this guy. He's a detective.
Yeah.
Your guy died. And he's like, oh, shit. And I was like, no, just they're very nice.
Yeah.
They will ask you questions. They're not. You're not being interrogated. They're on our side.
No. Yeah.
I said, if you don't remember, just tell them you don't remember. They know that you're new and you're not like.
They're not going to hassle you.
I'm like, they're good guys. So.
Yeah.
Then I had to call and get the information.
Oh.
And of course I called my brother from another mother.
Lugo.
No. Well, I called him first.
Yeah.
And then my other brother from another mother.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we can say his name.
Yeah. I was like, hey, buddy. And
yeah.
He's like, what you want? And I was like, you know what I want. And then he said, I didn't shoot him. I said, that's not what I wanted. So... But, yeah, I was like, I need some stuff. And he's like, get a pen.
Get a pen. Get
just
ready.
All the way. Everything.
Nice.
It's like, thank you, sir.
Nice.
Appreciate you.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
I love him.
Yeah, he's
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely adore him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's so cool.
He's my brother from another mother.
Yep. He is.
He calls me sis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He calls me bro.
Yeah. You know.
We're all family.
Right. I adopted another child through work.
Did you?
I did.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's their name?
Milo.
Milo.
I was like, you're mine.
Milo.
You're mine now. Plan on spending holidays with us. And he started laughing. And I was like, no, I'm not. Plan on spending holidays with us. You'll be with us.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's very cool.
I've heard him say two words since I hired him. And then he got stuck in dispatch with me.
And then
last weekend.
And he opened up.
Oh. 6-hour fucking rabbit hole we went down.
Yeah. Yep. The floodgates open.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's
and then,
cool.
So, yeah, the new batch is good. But I have one, and I don't think she listens, but I love her.
Yeah.
Like, she clearly was house-trained.
Yeah.
She clearly was raised by cops.
Mm-hmm.
She still calls me ma'am.
Oh, that's cool.
And I don't want to tell her no, obviously, because she does it very much out of respect.
Respect, yeah.
But the other day, she came in for a class, and I was like, do you have pants in your car? And she's like, no, why? What's wrong? What's wrong with what I'm wearing? I said, you don't ever wear your uniform here.
Right.
On a class day. I said, they will throw your ass up on the street.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, oh, shit. And I was like, I might have pants in my car. I was like, we'll go find out. So, but she's an EMT. She took ACLS and PALS with us.
Cool.
Did better than me. She's like, I don't know a lot about it. And I'm trying to like study. And I'm like, I haven't taken the class in 7 years.
You're
I said,
right.
Sit next to me. We will make fun of Mark and we'll be fine.
That sounds like a plan.
It was a great day. So.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
But I just, this new, like the last group of a few that I have are good. They're not like.
Yeah.
The, you know, sorry, everybody.
Slobs.
The generation that is now.
Right.
They all have very good work ethic.
That's good.
The one, like I said, still calls me ma'am. One of them lives down the street.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. I saw her address and I was like, but do you live in, you know? And she's like, how did you know that? And I was like,
neighbors.
You live down the street from my brother. And she's like, oh, shit. And I'm like, yeah, exactly.
We are neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Siobhan just texted me that she's now popped every fucking tire on her car.
Awesome.
Remember when I said, she's like, what are PSI? Because my car has six of them. I'm like, God damn it. She just told me she said the last tire I had just blew. And then she said,
she is not having good luck.
Then she said, don't worry about it. I duct taped it. Siobhan.
Duct tape usually works for everything except,
did it work? And she's like, fuck yes, it did.
Did it really?
I guess she got home.
What?
Leave it to fucking Siobhan to duct tape a goddamn tire.
And leave it to duct tape. Holy shit. That stuff is amazing.
My dad used to say, if you can't duck it, fuck it.
Right.
Wasn't meant to be fixed in the first place.
Damn straight. Mm-hmm. Damn skippy.
And then I found out today how old Siobhan's dad is and went, fuck, I could be your mom.
I always hate hearing that shit.
Yeah.
That makes me so depressed.
Well, everybody that I hire now was born after I graduated high school.
Oh, dude, it's so fucking depressing, I swear.
And they're old enough to, you know, drive an ambulance, so.
Yeah. It's so fucking depressing.
There are a few at work that call me mom, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah.
Our surrogate son, DJ.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But then there was another one. My real mom is out of town, and I don't know what kind of insurance to get.
Yep.
And you're my work mom. Can you help me?
I remember that day. Yep. I helped them too. And then I had, dude, you go for the PPO.
I had two other people. The one who he said I could say his name.
Yeah.
Matako.
Right.
He's like, I'm an orphan. I don't know which insurance to pick. And I was like,
yep.
Fellow member of the Dead Dad Club.
You're right.
I will help you.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I take care of him.
You do.
Another one. Comes out, he's like, do you have juice boxes in your trunk? I was like, dude, it's not football season.
Right.
No, I said,
not yet.
Yeah, I was like, you got to wait for football season.
Right,
like,
you got to wait for like June, and then you're set.
So what did I do last night at the store?
Bought juice boxes.
Juice boxes and cookies.
That's great.
That are in my trunk, and they all know how to get to my trunk.
That's great.
Yeah. But he was just like, do you have a juice box? Sir, how old are you? He's like, I don't care, I want a juice box.
Yeah.
So my bottom juice boxes are in my trunk.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's working really hard through paramedic school.
Yeah.
So,
He deserves a juice box and cookies then.
I do. I have like 13 of them in paramedic school. Like, no shit. 13 EMTs in paramedic school. And they're all doing great.
Wow. Good for them.
So.
Good for them.
Yeah. I had a bunch start in like September-ish. And then I had another round start in January. So we'll have like six done in May and then six more done in like September.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
You can tell it's kicking their ass too.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I bet.
I don't feel bad for you.
No, the academy kicked my ass.
Well, and even now, the schools that they go to, the hours are not as much. Like, I went to school 20 years ago. It's been almost 20. Well, 20 years ago, I was in paramedic school now. So June would make me graduated 20 years.
Right.
I had triple the amount of ride hours, triple the amount of ER hours. I had double the places to go for clinicals.
Right.
And if your shit wasn't done a month before class was over, you were fucked. You didn't graduate. Yeah. Now, they get extensions. They can fuck around.
Fuck that shit. Yeah.
So
we never got that.
They are lucky when it comes to that. And, you know, a lot of them have the ability to drop part-time for school, which is great. Yeah. If you can do it, do it. I was working full-time paying a fucking mortgage.
Right.
I would do a clinical, and then I would go to work for 12 hours, and then go to the firehouse for 24.
Jesus.
Leave the firehouse, go back to a clinical, go back. I would be gone days on end.
I don't know how you did it.
I was doing laundry at the firehouse.
I don't know how you did it.
It was,
That's crazy.
It was, I would never fucking do it again, ever.
I bet.
Like, people are like, I let my license lapse. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know how hard I worked for that mother?
Yeah, forget that.
Nope. So, that's why I took PALS and ACLS the other day, because it's like 12 hours of Con Ed.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck yeah.
Although, and what is Con Ed?
Continuing education.
Okay.
And I have like 117 tests and packets I have to do.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's like, it's probably legit like 17.
That's crazy.
I know, because I suck.
I suck too.
Well, I can't go in the street.
You're right. But so what else are you supposed to do?
I'm not losing that fucking license. That's
no,
sure.
No. Mm-mm. No.
And I'll never take the national.
No, fuck that.
I'm gonna pass that shit. I have been where I'm at too long to take any type of organized test. It won't. No.
Yeah. Fuck Mm-mm. that.
No. Fuck they're gonna get not good answers out of me.
So. Fuck that.
Yeah. So. Quick update on.
Yeah.
Juan.
Yes.
He is
our brother.
Doing amazing. He's yes. home. He's been home.
Yes, his kidney is functioning perfectly.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
His numbers are fucking great.
They're amazing.
I mean, it couldn't have gone to a better guy.
I really couldn't. Yeah. Like, oh, he's such a sweetheart.
He's a good guy. And I felt terrible because he called
one
night at like 11:30. Of all nights for me to actually fall asleep. Yeah, he called you right after me. Like, I don't sleep. I'm a fucking crackhead. So the one night I actually fall asleep, he needed some. I felt fucking terrible.
But. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's doing absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he's doing great. So I'm very which
excited.
Is awesome.
Yeah, very, very excited. Yeah,
his numbers are like, I mean.
They're probably better than yours.
Yeah, they probably are.
Yeah.
They mm-hmm. probably are. Mm-hmm. So, wow.
He looks great. Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yep.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But today we have a great episode.
A lot of people are excited about this one.
Yes, especially me.
Yes, you.
Yes. I have wanted to do this for so long. Dimebag
Darryl.
Dude, he was my hero back in the day.
Yeah.
Pantera.
I did not realize that Pantera was formed in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cowboys from Hell.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know shit about Pantera.
Oh, yeah.
I don't fucking know. I mean, everybody knows this is a pretty famous fucking case.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the video is on YouTube.
It's hard to watch, though, because it's so grainy. You can't really tell.
Right. And there's been a lot of editing to videos.
Yeah.
So you can't, like, get the actual...
And thank God, because I didn't realize it was as brutal.
As it was, yeah.
I literally thought, dude got up on stage... Shot Dimebag and walked away.
That was it. No, it was a fucking melee.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was a fucking melee.
Terrible. Fucking terrible. So, yep. But I learned a couple things that you didn't know.
Oh, I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah. A couple just weird random things that I thought were kind of funny.
I'm excited to hear them.
So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Just dive right in.
Jump right in it.
All
right,
let me
throw in a dip and get ready.
Make my screen white so I can see.
Yeah, it's a little dark in here.
That's right. I didn't use fucking green ink, so we're good. Yeah, there we go. All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right. Darryl Lance Abbott was born August 20th, 1966 in Eunice, Texas. I think it's Eunice. To parents Caroline and Jerry Abbott. He did have an older brother by the name of Vinnie Paul, who was born in 1964, which everybody who knows Dimebag Darryl knows him.
Vinnie Paul, yeah.
So in 1979, his parents did divorce after 17 years of marriage, but they did remain civil and family life was still very happy for everybody.
Yeah.
The boys ended up moving to Arlington with their mom. But dad was close enough that the boys could actually ride their bikes to his house.
Oh, really?
So that's cool. Super close. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Jerry was actually a country music producer. So naturally, both boys were pretty musically inclined. However, they really didn't start musical instruments per se until a little bit later than
one would think. Their teenage years.
Yeah, which is kind of a little late.
Yeah.
You know?
It kind of is.
So for his 12th birthday, Darryl got a Les Paul style Hondo, which is, and a pig nose amplifier.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. This started his love for the guitar. However, he didn't have a fucking clue
how to play it.
Didn't have a clue how to play it.
Is that your phone blowing up?
That's actually the tablet. And it's actually Juan's, text.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. With all of us, which is kind of funny. So, oh, he's having a party.
Yeah.
So he didn't know how to play the guitar. He didn't have a clue. He was, though, influenced by Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, Kiss, and Van Halen. And he would put on, like, full Kiss makeup and stand in front of the mirror holding the guitar, but he couldn't play it.
So
he would just hold it.
That's awesome.
Now, his dad, Jerry, ended up learning a bunch of Kiss songs on his guitar so he could teach Darryl.
Oh, that's cool.
He would also learn from a lot of the country artists who would come in and record at Jerry's studios. Now, prior to the guitar, just prior, a couple years prior, both brothers tried out the drums. Vinny would later say, quote, "I just got better than him and wouldn't let him play them anymore."
Oh, Vinny was a fucking master.
Did you touch my drum set? Why are you so sweaty?
Right. Watching Cops.
Cops doesn't come on until 4. Did you touch my drum set?
No, but seriously, Vinny was a fucking master.
Now, the one part of the video that is clear as fucking day.
Yeah.
Is him jumping over his drum set.
Oh, yeah.
So, the first time they played the guitar and the drums together, they played Smoke on the Water for 6 hours straight.
Like the easiest song ever.
Do you think their mother wanted to kill them?
Oh, yeah.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
if I heard that for 6 straight hours, yeah. Fuck my life. Mm. Great song, but once.
Twice.
Once for me and I'm done.
Now, they actually became inseparable after that. Yeah. That's how they got close, was through music. At 14, Daryl entered a guitar contest in Dallas at the Agora Ballroom, and Mom Carolyn had to take him because he wasn't old enough to get in. Dean Zielinski, who is the founder of Dean Guitars, was a judge and said that Daryl, quote, "blew everyone away."
No shit. Self-taught? How cool is that?
He went on to win multiple contests in the surrounding area and was eventually asked to not compete so that others could win.
Wow.
They had him judging as a teenager.
Wow.
In 1981, Vinny was invited to join a band with his high school classmates. Terry Glaze played guitar, Tommy Bradfield played bass, and Donnie Hart was on vocals. And he said, "I'll join. Thank you for putting those on."
No problem. Fucking my eyes are watering right now. I'm having an allergy attack.
Oh.
It's always in this room.
Well, you were fucking staring at me all weird, too. So,
Creeper.
Now, Vinny flat out said, "I'll come, but Daryl has to come, too. Like, he can fucking play." And the band was kind of unsure at first. They didn't think he was very good.
Wow.
Guys. He just won a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said that he was little and skinny. He was a scrawny dude.
Okay.
Yeah. Ultimately, they agreed. So, they got good, apparently.
Yeah.
Because in 1989, Megadeth attempted to recruit Daryl from this high school band.
No shit.
Now, he...
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He gave the same deal that Vinny did. He's like, if I go, he goes.
That's cool.
Yeah. Brotherly especially because love, it was man. Megadeth versus a fucking high school band.
Right, right. You know?
But
I'm glad he didn't, you know, go to Megadeth.
Yeah. So going back just a smidge, by 1982, lead vocals had been replaced by one of the guys. You know, one guy left, one guy took over.
Yeah.
Daryl became the permanent spot lead guitarist. And Glaze said that Daryl, quote, just morphed over a 6-month period. Just
that's awesome.
Became amazing.
Yeah.
Now
the sounds that he makes, babe.
I did listen.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So he became Diamond Daryl.
Yep.
In reference to the Kiss song Black Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Now they were playing like glam metal.
Yeah.
And they were signed by Metal Magic Records, which was actually owned by their dad, Jerry, just under an alias.
Oh, okay.
He was also their band manager and producer. And in 1983, I whited shit out and didn't write over it. In 1983, their first album, what was it?
Cowboys from Hell.
No, it's something magic.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just familiar with Cowboys from Hell. I thought that was their first album.
Thanks for nothing.
And fail.
In 1984... Projects in the Jungle was released, and in 1985, I Am the Night was released.
I'm going to look that shit up.
Wow, I'm teaching you a lot.
You're teaching me a lot, dude. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to look that shit up.
Yep. So now, the band as a whole kind of started listening to Metallica.
Yeah.
Now, Vinny and Daryl wanted to go heavier with their music.
Yeah.
Glaze didn't. Now, in 1986, because of this and some sort of contractual dispute, he left the band.
Okay.
In 1986, after several unsuccessful replacements, Phil Anselmo joined in the later part of the year. He was kind of a butt.
He still kind of is, but actually, I take that back because my brother had a friend back in college that went to a Pantera show and had backstage passes. Said Phil was fucking amazing.
Really?
Like, had a full conversation with him.
I think it was more with the guys.
Okay.
And it's funny to me, like, how many side bands these guys had.
They do, yeah.
Like, they all did.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So, shortly after he joined, they signed with Gold Mountain Records. In 1988, they released Power Metal on Metal Magic Records again.
Oh my God, I totally got to look this stuff up.
Daryl said, quote, Gold Mountain wanted to change our style and make us sound like Bon Jovi, which is not up our alley.
No.
Now, after the release of Power Metal, they attempted to get signed by Metal Blade.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know.
Yeah.
However, their initial like asking price for the signing was $75,000. And Metal Blade was like, we can't swing that shit. So, it was actually one of many rejections until they got signed by Atco Records.
Mm-hmm.
And in July 24th of 1990, they released Cowboys from Hell.
Yeah. There you go. And that's what, that really set them off.
Because this marked the development of a new style that was self-described as power groove.
Yeah, and like thrash metal.
Yeah, so it was, quote, blueprint defining work for groove metal. It's a subgenre of heavy metal with heaviness and intensity of thrash metal, but at a slower pace.
Yep.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
I looked it up. I figured you would know. I didn't have a fucking clue.
Yeah.
In 1993, Cowboys from Hell went gold, and in 1997, it went platinum.
Yep.
They spent most of the 90s touring, and Daryl gained a reputation as a wild figure on tour and a heavy drinker.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck else do you do?
They all were.
You're supposed to.
That's all you can do if you're traveling like that.
But how do you not?
Exactly.
How do you
not party?
You're in a heavy metal band. What?
Right.
Isn't that what you do?
Right.
Like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Huh. So, on February 25th of 1992, they released Vulgar Display of Power.
Oh, I love it.
Which debuted at 44 and on the Billboard charts and stayed on the charts for 79 weeks.
Yep. Damn right.
Around this time, Daryl changed his look. He dyed his goatee.
The red.
Wore a razor blade pendant, cargo shorts, and sleeveless shirts.
Yep. Dude, that was a signature, man.
That was him, yeah.
That's him.
That's every picture you see of him.
Yep. And Phil did, too.
And his curly fucking hair. Fuck you. Like,
yeah, I know.
I'm tired of dudes having better hair than
me. I know.
It's bullshit.
But Phil had a look, too. He had the cut-off sleeve shirts,
did
and
he
had cargo pants that were always cut in the shorts.
Oh, yeah. So now, because of this, Diamond Daryl no longer fit.
Yeah.
Now, one of the band members actually called Daryl Dimebag.
Yeah.
And he adopted this. Do you know how he got it?
No.
Okay. So he adopted this name as his new stage name. Now, it came about because of Daryl's refusal to carry more than a dime bag of weed in his pocket at a time because he didn't want to get caught with more.
No shit.
That's how he got the name.
That's awesome.
He didn't want to get caught with more.
Smart thinking.
So, up until 1994...
And Dimebag is so fitting.
It is, yeah.
Dimebag Daryl.
It flows.
It flows.
Yeah.
Off the tongue.
Up until 1994, all of Pantera's albums were actually recorded at Pentago Sound, which is Jerry's studio. In hopes of fulfilling his dream of becoming a country songwriter, though, Jerry moved everything to Nashville and opened a new studio called Abtrax.
Mm.
Now... The third major label album, Jesus, Far Beyond Driven, was actually...
Which is even better.
Was recorded there.
Yeah.
Now, this changed the dynamic of the recording, though, because while they were recording, you know, at Pantago, they're home. So they're still having to go about, like, their normal routine and their daily life, you know?
Right.
But now, recording at Abtrax, they would have to fly to Tennessee, for a couple weeks at a time.
Oh, wow.
So they didn't do fuck all but sit in their hotel rooms and drink and do drugs.
And what else are you going to do?
So, that's all they did. Now, What fuck? I don't know what album I mentioned, right? No. They released another record on March 15th of 1994 on East West Records. This one debuted number one on the Billboard 200.
Mm-hmm.
It is described as the heaviest album to debut at number one ever.
Yep.
Ever. So this was far beyond driven. Sorry.
Yeah.
And
it is heavy.
Now, they were expected to follow Metallica's lead and go lighter. And they went,
heavier.
Yep, they went heavier. the lead single, I'm Broken, was inspired by Anselmo's chronic back pain.
Yeah, he did. He had a terrible, terrible back.
So he was a heavy drinker, a lot of painkillers, and eventually went to heroin.
Yeah.
He would take a separate tour bus. He would interrupt concerts by ranting on stage. And ended up, they recorded the Great Southern Trendkill.
Oh, yeah.
Separately. And merged it together. Yep.
And you
He would not be in the studio with the other band members. So he recorded in one studio, they recorded in another, and they merged it. Yeah, they merged it.
And one of the songs on there I used as my entrance music for wrestling, if you did not know.
No, I did not know because I don't listen to Pantera.
Well, that's a fun fact for you.
So now this is around the time, too, that Daryl started experimenting with new guitars, and he started playing a 12-string.
Mm, yeah.
On May 7th of 1996, the Great Southern Trendkill was released, and it is considered to be their most extreme work.
Oh, yeah, it is.
On July 13th of 1996, Phil Anselmo OD'd.
Yeah.
He was clinically dead for upwards of 10 minutes.
Damn right he was.
2 days later, he performed. They did a concert.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's dedication, man.
It made the tension worse, though, probably because the guys are like, well, you got dead once.
Right.
You're probably going to get dead again.
Yeah, it's probably going to happen again.
Thanks, buddy.
Right.
So, touring made it worse. Mm-hmm. The recording for the next album, Troublesome, was just a shit show.
Yeah.
Phil Anselmo would not show up, and when he did, he would just fucking complain.
Yeah. It didn't even come out, did it?
I don't think it did, no.
I'm almost positive it didn't come out.
Yeah. Now, on September 12th of 1999, Daryl and Vinny's mom actually passed away from lung cancer.
Oh, really?
6 weeks after she was diagnosed.
Oh, man.
6 fucking weeks.
Oh, dude, that's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, kind of the beginning of the end was September 11th, was 9/11.
Yeah.
They were in Ireland. Their tour had been canceled. They were sent back to Texas. And when they all got back, they agreed to take a short break.
Yeah.
It turned into...
A long break.
A long break.
Yeah.
Phil Anselmo had multiple bands. One included one of the band members from Pantera.
Yeah.
and on September 23rd, 2003, Pantera's Greatest Hits album was released.
Mm-hmm.
The same day that one of the band members said that he was not returning.
Yeah.
Daryl was destroyed. He said it felt like everything he had worked for had been ripped out from underneath him.
It was Rex, right?
Brown.
The bassist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, continuing as Pantera without Brown and Anselmo would be a legal nightmare. I don't know what the logistics were behind the contract.
Yeah.
But
it wouldn't be the same.
Well, they said that it would just to go to court to keep the name. So I don't know if they all had like a stake in the name.
Yeah.
Or what. But Vinny and Daryl decided we're just going to start over.
Yeah.
We're just going to start a different band because they didn't want to kind of go through it. So, along with Patrick Lachman and Bob, how do you say his name? Kakaha?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. They formed Damage Plan.
Yeah.
And signed with Elektra Records in late 2003.
Their record was fucking awesome, too.
So, their first album, Newfound Power, was released on February 10th of 2004. And it debuted at 38 on the Billboard charts, so not like huge.
No,
but
it should
more
have been.
Than another record that Pantera had.
Yeah, it should have been higher though. It was metal.
Was it?
Yeah, it was awesome.
So they ended up spending most of 2004 touring nightclubs to kind of rebuild a fan base.
Mm-hmm.
They recorded they had several projects in the works, you know.
Yeah.
And this I found interesting. Dimebag Darrell actually recorded an album with David Allan Coe.
Did he really?
Yes. Like an entire album. Wow. With David Allan Coe. They would sit around and drink and do fucking drugs and record an album.
No shit.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
That's insane.
I'm David Allan Coe of all fucking people.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So now, despite growing success as Damage Plan, Darrell, he never really got over the breakup of Pantera.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't.
Fans took it hard.
Oh, yeah.
They took it super hard.
Dude, I remember it. It was bad. Like, I was pissed, too.
It's a disorder.
Yeah.
Like, it's an actual disorder.
I could believe it, yeah.
It's the equivalent of, like, your parents divorcing.
Yeah.
So, God, I'm having fucking deja vu. Whew.
Uh-oh.
Wow. No one, however, took it harder than 25-year-old Nathan Gale.
Hmm.
This one blew your mind the other day.
Yeah, this blew my mind.
I blew little Jackie's mind the other day, too, with it. So,
really?
Nathan Gale was born September 11th, 1979, in Lansing, Illinois.
Which is one of the towns we cover.
It's Tony Curtis's town.
It's Tony Curtis's town. Yep.
So, his parents were Gerald and Mary, and he was the youngest of three, all boys. Gerald left shortly after Nathan's birth. He accused Mary of cheating and denied Nathan, would come see the other two boys and completely ignore Nathan when he was there.
Aww.
So,
fucker.
Mary took the boys and moved to Columbus, Ohio. Now, despite all this, Nathan was described as a happy and good-natured child. He reached some of his milestones a little bit slower, but didn't seem to show any mental or physical incapabilities, disabilities, defects, anything. However, at three, he had some issues with his vision and was given huge glasses. Same, my dude.
Right.
Same.
Walleye vision.
Yeah. I don't fucking feel bad for you. Oh, God damn it.
Oh, you just turned your computer off.
This is also around the time that he started showing signs of a learning disability.
Okay.
They had him repeat kindergarten just to catch up, which I should probably repeat too because I can't spell kindergarten. Afterwards, right? He was put in... They were special education classes before. They don't call them that now.
Yeah.
He did see
some... What do they
some,
call them now?
Not like alternative learning, but like they don't really break it off. Like now, because they have the No Child Left Behind thing.
Yeah.
They usually will just kind of have them in the same classroom, integrated in the same classroom, and just have teacher's aides.
But they're not called special ed no more?
No, because that's,
I did not know that.
It's ostracizing the kids. So, wow. Which it fucking did.
It did.
It 100%
did. Yeah,
so now,
it's bogus.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You know, you can get God damn, I can't even think of what it's called. The IEPs.
Oh, yeah.
And you stay in the classroom. And then, like, your study hall is like a tutoring class.
Makes
sense. So, yeah.
Okay. Makes sense.
So now, there was some improvement, but his mom wasn't happy enough with it. She didn't really, like, degrade him for it, but she's like, come on, my dude. Like,
do a little better.
Spell kindergarten.
Right.
I can't even fucking spell kindergarten.
Do me a favor, man. Come on.
So...
You're killing me, Smalls.
Mom ended up remarrying to a guy named John. He was always away from the house, though, for work. I think he was a truck driver. I'm not 100% positive. I couldn't find it. Now, around this time, around like fifth grade, Nathan started acting out. Yeah. He wasn't an angry kid. He wasn't an aggressive kid.
Yeah.
He just was doing stupid shit.
Okay.
Like, he got caught shoplifting.
Oh.
And then a year after that, kids do. He got caught stealing candy bars.
Oh, come on now.
Again, no anger, no aggression.
Right.
And a year after that, he was actually arrested for probation violation.
Okay.
Mary's stern lecture that she gave him apparently did not work.
Yeah, foul.
Now, he was sent to juvie, and a probation officer decided he was angry.
Oh.
Why?
He decided.
Oh, he was angry.
Okay.
Nathan didn't say he was angry.
All right. Yeah. All right.
But the probation officer said that he was angry from being rejected by his father, and he had no identity.
Oh.
So you know what happens when you tell a teenager that they're angry? They start acting angry. Yeah. So now he starts displaying his anger and becoming aggressive after being rejected by most cliques.
Yeah.
It just made me think of Mean Girls. We have the girls that eat too much.
Right.
The girls that don't eat at all. Asian hotties.
Asian hotties.
So, sexually active band geeks. So he kept violating probation.
Oh my God. I might actually rent that movie tomorrow.
I
think that's what I'm going to do tomorrow.
God, I fucking love that movie.
Yeah. I that's the plan tomorrow is to rent that.
Do you know what date is? It's October 3rd.
God, I love that movie too. And I shouldn't. I'm a dude.
Have any of you ever been personally victimized by Regina George? You know, she wore a wig in that movie. That's a wig.
I kind of figured it was. Yeah. I kind of figured.
Because, well, she's not blonde.
No, she's dark haired.
I fucking love her.
I do too. I used to have a little thing for her.
Yeah. Her and, what the fuck is her name? Anna. God damn it. The one that was an end to watch. Anna Kendrick. Love her.
Nah, she doesn't do it for
she's
me.
She's fucking hilarious. I don't
she
care.
Is, but yeah, she doesn't do it for
she's
me,
like
though.
She's like girl next door.
She is. Yeah. She is.
So he always had trouble sleeping. Same.
Yeah.
Except it would later be revealed that he had trouble sleeping because he would see unrecognizable faces floating above him, screaming and yelling.
What the fuck?
Hello, schizophrenia.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah. He also started hearing voices.
Well,
yeah. They told
him. I feel your pain, man. I've been there.
They told him that he was gay, so he started having encounters and relationships with males.
Really?
Told him that he needed to die, so he attempted suicide.
No way.
Yeah, like this kid went downhill fucking
quick. Yeah.
Mom ended up divorcing the new husband, John.
Oh.
And her and Nathan's relationship was pretty strained at this point.
Yeah.
He started watching Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, my God. I love them.
That's why I couldn't watch MTV, and I'm not mad.
I couldn't watch it either. I wasn't allowed.
Yeah, I'm not. Beavis and Butthead is fucking terrible.
Oh, no, it's not.
I know.
No, it's not.
I know. I'm gonna
that was the show,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, because you're a stupid boy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot, and I loved it.
Which is why you're still fucking laughing about it.
I know, right?
Yeah. So, he said that the creators had based the show on him, and they were stealing his life.
What?
Now this becomes a pattern.
Okay.
So, in 1998, he graduated high school. And then did nothing. He smoked some pot, drank some booze, and went to his friend's house for band practice.
Oh.
He did, however, grow to be fucking ginormous.
Did he really?
He was your size. Yeah. 6'3". Well,
thanks, babe.
Well, no. I mean, I didn't mean fat.
Yeah, oh, okay.
He's like 6'3", and upwards of 250. So I'm big fucking dude.
Yeah, I'm 6'2", 280, so.
And had resting bitch face.
Yeah.
But
so, I don't think I'm fat, am I?
I didn't say fat. I said he was a gigantic dude.
I know.
Babe, 6'3", 250 is a gigantic fucking dude.
It's a linebacker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, at work, one of the guys was like, so your kid's going to be like, what, a freshman? And I'm like, no.
No.
And he's
try
like,
sixth grade.
He's like, what do you mean? I said, he's in fifth grade right now. And he went, what the fuck? Now, if you knew who I was talking to, you would know that that was a very typical answer. And I said, he's in fifth grade.
Yep.
And
he's like, got my jeans.
He's like, Mama's going to be rich when he joins the NFL, huh? I'm like, fuck yes. So he would go to his friend's house to, you know, watch band practice. And at one point, he decided that he wanted to sing.
Oh.
Now, his friends described him as awkward and shy, so this really surprised him, but they agreed to let him do it.
Yeah.
So he would furiously write and then get behind the mic, look ready, and never fucking start.
Oh, stage fright.
Friends said that he would get really angry and look ready to scream, but never sing a word.
That's what he should have done, is just scream.
I mean,
that's my kind of music.
Yeah. So several attempts just led to the same thing. He would leave the mic talking to himself, and his friends just chalked it up to him being weird.
Yeah.
When in reality, he was probably talking back to the voices in his head.
Right.
Now, around this time, his friend Ryan gave him an old copy of Vulgar Display.
Oh, yeah.
Vulgar Display of Power, excuse me. So he immediately started listening to it on his Discman.
Yeah. Walkman.
And he became obsessed.
Oh, yeah. It's hard not to if you're a metalhead. Oh, man.
So he started writing at band practice again, and he showed his friend Ryan, determined to get his thoughts out. Like, he wanted Ryan to see it. Ryan immediately recognized them as Pantera lyrics.
Oh.
And when Ryan brought
copy
it up,
infringement.
They both just kind of went, eh. They brushed it off, you know.
Whatever.
He just assumed that it was Nathan's
we'll get sued.
Jumbled thoughts. Yeah. Well, they didn't let him sing. This was just Nathan writing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, now, around this time, Nathan was actually invited to a Pantera concert, along with a group of people, including Ryan. They ended up losing him at the concert. And, like,
whoops.
The good men friends that they are, they're like, eh, fuck you, dude. We're going home. And they fucking left him.
And no so, Uber back then,
no,
so.
No, they're like, eh, fuck you, we're out. Yeah,
we had a good time.
Sorry
see
it took
ya.
You 4 seconds longer to pee, but right. Eh, fuck off.
Deuces.
So Nathan ended up finding them the next day and gave them this elaborate story about meeting the band and hanging out with the band.
Yeah.
And then went on to show them, like, a pamphlet from the concert.
Yeah.
Like, a program from the concert, I guess.
Right.
And said that there was a secret message in the program that Pantera was going to give a concert at their friend's graduation party.
Oh, yeah. That's hard to believe.
So, the whole, if you see something, say something.
Yeah.
Your friend is not weird.
Right.
Your friend is sick.
Yeah.
And
he needs help.
Mm, like, a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not judging anybody by any means, but I wonder how he was at home.
Yeah.
If they didn't see it. Because, you know, I know him and his mom's relationship was strained, and, like, everybody had moved away at this point.
Right.
So, right. I don't know. So years went on. Friends moved away, got jobs, got married, whatever. Nathan worked odd jobs, but he couldn't really seem to keep a job.
Yeah.
And he seemed to very much be stuck in 1998. Now, his mom grew tired of supporting a grown man and kicked him out.
Right. Sorry, dude.
So he either didn't bother to find somewhere else to live or didn't, like, legit had nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
And he ended up living in a local park.
Oh, wow.
Friends would see him. He would be disheveled and unkempt, and they would avoid him. And then September 11th happened.
Ooh, yeah.
Nathan, like many, many others, decided to join the military.
Yeah. That was my...
Everybody did.
I wish I did.
Yeah, everybody did.
I wish I did. It still haunts me to this day that I...
No. Uh-uh. In January 2002, he enlisted in the Marine Corps. In February of 2002, he was sent to Paris Island for boot camp. He felt like a target, and he was constantly getting yelled at for his weight. All I could think of was Gomer fucking Pyle.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
He went fucking nuts.
Yep.
That's a good movie, too, by the way.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
I just think of the cadence. This is my rifle. This is my gun. He would just play video games and talk to himself.
Huh.
Always seemed kind of out of it, is what other guys would say.
Yeah, you think?
He was sent to Camp Lejeune to fix the weight issue. And they actually saw an improvement in everything on him.
Wow.
His physical testing, his marksmanship, his attitude, everything got better at Camp Lejeune.
No kidding.
And he was promoted to Lance Corporal.
Wow.
Which is like 3 up. So, yeah. He was assigned to be a mechanic. He ended up at some point for obvious reasons, but I don't know why he got sent there. He ended up seeing a military psych doctor and told him that he was hearing voices. So they put him on a butt ton of meds,
yeah,
which seemed to help, but he was given an involuntary medical discharge.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he went back home. I wrote no fucks given, but would avoid the question when people asked why he left, you know?
Yeah.
He said he didn't like the military, but he learned how to blow stuff up.
Oh, all right.
I get it. What did I just say about fucking Josh?
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to let me use a rocket launcher. Why?
Right.
What? Why?
Oh, dude. He's like,
I don't know, but I'm really fucking excited. Yeah, I would be too. I would be too.
Yeah.
Josh with a rocket launcher?
Oh my God, I need pics.
He got hit on by a chick the other day and his brothers had to tell him, dude, you're stupid. She's hitting on you. So I guess she was like, oh, I like your hat.
Yeah.
And Donnie's like, nobody gives a fuck about your hat, dude. She was hitting on you.
Right. She wants your dog.
He's like, I'm a dipshit. I didn't know it. I know you're a dipshit.
Right.
We go to the bar. The bartender. Ginormous.
Huge, boobs. Yeah.
And I look at Josh and I'm like,
huge.
Real or fake? And he's like, I'm not looking. Dude, if I'm looking, you're fucking looking. Yeah. I said, well, if you're not looking, look, because I need to know.
I caught her stuffing or...
No, that was a different... This was a different one.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, when him and I went. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was the same one because hers are ridiculous. He's
like, I'm not looking. Fuck you. If I'm looking, you're looking. Quit playing coy. Tell me if they're real or fake. I was like, I can't really tell. I was like, I don't think the left one's moving, but you got to tell me if the right... And he's just looking at me and I was like, just pay attention. I need to know.
Right.
Need to know not to go to her surgeon.
Yeah.
Just saying. Nope. So... He now becomes obsessed with Pantera again. He kind of couldn't in the military, you know, couldn't have his discman with him.
Right.
And he is super pissed about the breakup.
Oh, God, yeah.
Doesn't I get say it. Why, but, you know.
I get it.
And he blamed Dimebag Daryl and Vinny wholeheartedly.
Really? See, I blamed Phil.
Wholeheartedly, he blamed these two.
I blamed Phil.
He stopped taking his meds and ended up moving into an apartment with his mom and two other roommates.
Wow.
Okay. And because of the Veterans Administration, he was able to get a job at a local auto repair shop.
Oh, okay.
His boss knew that he was troubled.
Yeah.
But he was a model employee. He showed up every day. Wow. He was on time. He did as he was told.
Yeah.
So the boss kind of took him under his wing.
Well, that's cool.
He ended up telling his boss that he had been discharged because of schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And that's the first time you hear the diagnosis schizophrenia. So I don't know if he was diagnosed prior to the military or in the military. Because the military is the first time you hear about him being medicated.
Okay.
And then him coming back and telling the boss he had schizophrenia was the first time you hear him actually say schizophrenia out loud.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But he lied and told the boss he was still taking his meds. Now,
you gotta take your meds, man.
His boss thought the best way to get him through all of this shit was to get him into sports. So he started taking him to Columbus Blue Jackets games, which are hockey games.
Yeah.
Bought him a jacket that he wore all the time. It actually...
That's like the only major league team that Columbus has, is the Blue Jackets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess it is, huh?
Yeah.
So he ended up wearing this jacket all the time. But it really did pique his interest in sports in general. And he ended up trying out for a semi-pro football team.
Really?
He made the team and played left guard.
Wow.
For a while. To the point that the football schedule was kind of not really jiving with the job schedule. So he quit his job.
Wow.
To play football. Yeah.
And I'm probably making next to nothing. Mm-hmm. You know.
I don't think he cared, you know?
Oh, no, and probably loved it. Yeah. So,
Mom ended up moving out of the apartment with a new boyfriend, and when he was done playing football, he couldn't hold another job.
Oh.
So he ended up spending a lot of time at a tattoo parlor across the street, making people uncomfortable.
Right?
You know, he would just stare at people until they engaged in conversation.
Creepy,
with them.
Like how I was looking at you earlier.
Yeah, yes. 100%. So now,
Creepy Creeperton.
Yeah. Yeah. So Nathan's still obsessed with Pantera at this point.
Yeah.
He felt significant betrayal and started to think that they were in his head.
Oh, wow.
He said the lyrics were really his and they had stolen them straight from his head.
Yeah, sorry, bro.
What was that about still taking your medication?
Yeah, this dude needs meds.
So now, around this time, and I don't know how many people knew this. Well, I don't know if I shouldn't say that. I don't know if you knew this. So in April of 2004, Nathan actually went to see Damage Plan.
Yeah.
And at this point, he rushed the stage.
Yep.
Screaming at Dimebag, but no one can hear him, obviously. He was tackled by security guards, three security guards, which prevented any kind of an attack.
Yeah.
But he did grab onto stage equipment and held on so tight he broke a lighting rack.
Oh, wow.
So security took him outside and promptly beat the ever-loving fuck out of him.
As they usually do.
Yeah. They finally got him out, obviously. And one of the guys on stage was like, we'd like to introduce the fifth member of Damage Plan. Who the fuck was that guy?
Right?
Yeah. So the band and the venue declined to press charges.
Okay.
But now Nathan decided that talking to them wouldn't be enough. He was going to have to kill him.
Jesus.
So on December 6th of 2004, he applied at Lee Dog's locker room to be a bouncer. Told him he was a former Marine and a brown belt in judo. He would,
judo chop.
Yeah. He would be at home listening to Pantera while fucking around with a 9mm Beretta.
Jesus.
Constantly thinking he needed to get back at Dimebag Darrell and Vinny.
Oh, man.
They took away what he loved by breaking up.
Yeah.
And they were stealing his thoughts. That's what he legitimately thought.
Damn.
So on December 8th, which is my sister's birthday.
Yeah.
It's also the day John Lennon was shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the day my dad's dad died. Wow, it all happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
That's really creepy.
All that shit happens on the same day.
Yeah.
So he went to the tattoo shop and he asked one of the guys about getting a tattoo gun.
Yeah.
And the tattoo guy was like, you got to have a license to do it, and blah, blah, blah. And Nathan completely flipped shit at the answer.
Too bad they didn't have Amazon back then. You know,
you can get like a nose piercing.
You could get anything on Amazon.
You really can.
Dude, you could get anything.
I feel like though their delivery used to be better. Like,
oh,
they used to say one day delivery and you would get one day delivery. Now, not so much.
No, now it's maybe you might get it today.
Yeah. Listen, fuckers, I went through the list of eligible items to get same day fucking delivery. I want my package between 10 and 3.
Right.
Stop it.
Yep. I agree.
So, psychologist Reed Malloy would say, quote, a mass murder is almost always provoked by a single triggering event. It usually happens within hours, at the most a few days prior to the event, the mass murder.
Right.
They see, what they see is a public, they see it as public humiliation or rejection.
Yeah.
And they must take revenge on all who do them wrong.
Wow. Okay.
So he went back to his apartment from the shop and grabbed the Beretta, 2 clips, and 30 extra bullets.
Magazines, please.
What did I say?
Clips.
Okay, so that's what the article said.
I know. I hate that, though. It's a pet peeve.
Two magazines.
It's hood talk.
Got it. Tracking.
Yeah,
got it.
That's hood talk.
All right.
Clips.
Now, he wasn't legally allowed to own a gun.
Right.
Because of his diagnosed mental illness through the military.
Yeah.
But his mom was so proud of his military service.
She bought him one. Yep.
He then drove to El Rosa Villa nightclub, where Damage Plan was playing that night.
Yep.
He parked a little bit away to kind of amp himself up. And he ended up getting moved by security 3 separate times because he was blocking traffic.
Wow.
He parked across the street and listened to the voices in his head question whether or not they recognized him, the security guards.
Damn.
Because the security guards that tackled him in April were the band security guards, not the venue.
Oh.
So now the same security guards are with the band, and he's trying to figure out if they recognize him.
Yeah.
So he started pacing around the parking lot. He approached the tour bus and asked if the brothers were there and got turned away. At around 10:15, he saw sound engineer. Saw the sound engineer and asked if the brothers were on the bus, and was told that they were already inside setting up.
Mm-hmm.
He then heard Damage Plan being introduced. He hopped over a tall fence into the patio area and was spotted by a security guard at the venue. This security guard ran to another security guard to tell him. They both thought Nathan was just trying to get up there to stage dive.
Yeah.
Now, people in the audience would later say that they heard Nathan saying to nobody.
It was such a small venue,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they were too big for that kind of a venue.
You would think, but like, it was the end of their touring year. They were trying to build their fan base. They had probably had it booked for God knows how long.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So members of the audience would later say that they heard Nathan saying to nobody that it was Dimebag's fault that Pantera broke up.
Ooh.
He was seen by two more security guards hauling ass to the stage, and they were kind of planning on meeting him halfway to stop him. Okay, so I don't give trigger warnings a lot.
Yeah.
This is...
It's a trigger.
It's a little rough.
Yeah, it's a trigger warning.
Especially
if you see the video.
He set out to prove a point.
Yeah.
And he... proved a fucking point.
Yeah, he did.
So, now Dimebag was at the front of the stage, bent over, playing the guitar headbanging, which that's what he did.
Oh, yeah.
And he would get so into it, he didn't know what was happening around him.
Pay attention, yeah.
Nathan came up behind him and put him in a headlock. While Nathan was still screaming, he grabbed him by the hair. And now, out of instinct, Dimebag reached up and covered Nathan's hand with his own without even looking up.
Yeah.
Didn't even look up. So.
Turn the page.
Nathan then put the gun against the back of Dimebag's head and pulled the trigger.
God damn.
It went through his hand and entered the side of his head, and Dimebag dropped immediately.
Yeah.
His guitar dropped. There was a ridiculous amount of feedback. People in the audience at this point still thought it was part of the show. One of the bartenders said he thought somebody lit off firecrackers in the bathroom. He was then tackled by security guard Jeffrey Mayhem Thompson, who had just become their head security guard. While fighting with Mayhem, Nathan somehow got back to Dimebag and shot him again, this time in the face.
God damn.
Point blank in the cheek. He stood up with Mayhem on him and shot Dimebag again.
Jesus.
In the back of the head.
Oh my God.
Now, he was still alive.
Was he really?
I have goosebumps.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I thought he died instantly.
A nurse from that was in the audience,
yeah,
from Columbus by the name of Mindy Reese, got on stage and started doing CPR.
Wow.
She did CPR on Dimebag for approximately 15 to 20 minutes.
Wow.
Nathan then raised the gun and shot in the direction of the band manager, Chris Beluska, hit him in the left chest, which exited through his back.
Mm-hmm.
In the chaos of all of this, Vinny jumped over the drums,
yep,
to help Dimebag.
Yep.
He was immediately stopped by guitar tech John Graham, who forced Vinny off the stage and outside.
I mean, can you imagine seeing your family member, your close brother... Yeah. Being fucking shot at point blank range right in front of you.
Three times?
Yeah.
Three times.
God.
Like point blank, twice in the back of the head, once in the face.
My God.
So now there was another band there called Volume Dealer. A roadie actually grazed in the arm, but he ran towards the stage to try and disarm Nathan. Nathan told him, like, get away, and shot at him, and the bullet ended up going through the guy's shirt, and, didn't hit him.
Lucky.
Mayhem got up and went after Nathan again and put him in a full Nelson. Nathan reached behind him and blindly shot, hitting Mayhem in the chest.
Oh, Jesus.
He fell. Nathan shot again, hitting him in the carotid. He bled out within minutes and died on stage.
Yep.
Roadie and drum tech John Brooks also rushed the stage, and he was wrestling Nathan and tripping over beer bottles and the contents of a spilled cooler. So, like, people had coolers and shit out there. So, there, Johnny Brooks and Nathan are struggling. An employee of the venue, Aaron Hulk, was 29. He rushed the stage to try and help John Brooks subdue Nathan. and was shot and killed.
Oh, jeez.
Another fan, actually, by the name of Nathan Bray, was 23 years old, had just had a baby, just gotten married. He traveled to see Dimebag, saw everything that happened, and went up on stage to try and help with CPR, and then tried to help disarm Nathan and was shot and killed.
Oh my God.
At one point when the audience realized that this wasn't like
part of the act,
right. The gun jammed and, he was able to clear the gun and reload.
Mm-hmm.
So at this time, excuse me, obviously this shit is hitting the fan. Nobody knows what the fuck is going on. And at 10:18 PM, James Niegemeier, was an officer, got the call for shots fired inside the club. At 10:20...
Say his last name five times fast.
I know. At 10:20, he snuck inside the club through a back door. At this point, Nathan Gale had taken a male hostage and was standing on the stage holding the male hostage.
And I can't find this video anymore. Yeah. I think they took it down.
Yeah. Now... Niegemeier showed up, no backup, grabbed the only weapon he had in his car.
Shotgun.
Which was his shotgun.
Yep.
So he
old school.
Sees the gunman on stage, and he sees that he obviously has a hostage, and he's holding him by the neck.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, the hostage wriggled out of the way, and Niegemeier was able to shoot Nathan Gale. With a shotgun. He shot him in the face.
Good. As he should have.
Yep. And immediately felt like a bag of shit.
Oh my God.
People in the audience were comforting this officer.
Yes.
After he shot him.
Like I said, I can't find the video anymore on YouTube, but like, he was totally in shock. Totally didn't know what was going on.
People in the audience were like,
people were comforting him.
Like,
you did what you had to do.
You had to do this. You did what you had to do.
Yeah. How many lives you saved.
The guy was fucking beside himself.
Yeah.
He ended up only staying in law enforcement 3 more years.
That makes me so sad.
Had to quit. Because at the time, you know, PTSD was not a thing.
It wasn't a thing in law enforcement.
It wasn't a recognized workers' compensation thing or anything.
Not in fire, not in police.
He did get an award for shooting him and save the entire fucking place because everybody was so stunned thinking that it was part of the show.
They stood there.
Nobody left.
Right.
Nobody
they
left.
Stood there.
Yeah. It wasn't like a giant scatter.
So how many lives, you know, did he actually save?
Nobody fucking left. Yeah. So, Dimebag Daryl was pronounced dead at the scene by the paramedics at the age of 38. Thousands of fans attended his public memorial, including Eddie Van Halen, Corey Taylor, Jenny Cottrell, and Dino Cazares. He was buried alongside his mother at Moore Memorial Gardens Cemetery in Arlington, Texas. Gene Simmons actually donated a Kiss casket for the burial.
I did know that.
Eddie Van Halen donated his original black and yellow striped 1979 Charvel Bumblebee guitar.
To be buried with him.
Yep, to be included in the casket.
Yep.
This was because Dimebag Daryl, a few weeks prior to the murder, had met Van Halen and asked him for a replica.
Yeah.
Van Halen said at the funeral, quote, "Dime was an original and only an original deserves the original."
Mm-hmm.
The band later on tried to go back on tour as Pantera and were boycotted by fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's too soon after his death. It's that. Well, he wasn't part of Pantera at the time, but they did.
Pantera is back now, though.
It was huge.
They're going to be opening up for Metallica on tour.
It was a huge, huge fucking to-do, though.
Yeah. Phil and Rex are back and... You know, they obviously got a new guitarist, Zach Wild, who's amazing, too, and a new drummer. I'm not sure who their new drummer is, but Pantera is back.
Now, after the time of his death, his grave had been repeatedly vandalized.
Was it really?
Yeah. Like, guys, come on.
What?
Yeah. Now, tragically, Vinny.
Yeah.
His brother passed away in 2018 yeah. Of a drug overdose, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I didn't know it was a drug overdose. I thought he had a heart attack.
I could be mistaken. I could be 100% mistaken. I'll be honest with you, I didn't look twice. So let me
I haven't looked it up either. Let me look. I thought it was a heart attack, but I could be wrong.
I will eat my words because you could be right. Yeah.
But yeah, I was sad when he passed too. It sucked.
Oh yeah, you look just like him. Oh, coronary artery disease. Okay, I take that back. I apologize. I'm sorry. It was not a drug overdose. He died in June of 2018 from coronary artery disease.
Yep.
Now, he was actually, he was buried next to his mom and Dimebag Daryl, also in a Kiss casket. And because of the vandalism that had happened to Dimebag's grave in 2020, a protective fence was put around the entire burial ground.
Wow.
Yeah. the club is closed.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, I could imagine. But did they tear it down? Or?
I thought they did.
I thought they did too, but I could be totally mistaken.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Now, on May 17th, 2007, Dimebag Daryl was posthumously inducted into Hollywood's Rock Walk.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I did not know.
Yeah. And Rolling Stone ranked him number 92 on its list of 100 greatest guitarists of all time in 2011. Oh, he should be
way higher than that.
Describing him as, quote, one of modern metal's key figures.
He was. That's why he should be way higher than that.
Geezer Butler of Black Sabbath said Abbott was, quote, one of the greatest musicians to grace our world.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, Abbott ranked number 19 on Louder's list of the 50 greatest guitarists of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, heavy metal people were just
devastated
all over this fucking guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sebastian Bach of Skid Row said that Abbott, quote, reinvented the heavy metal guitar.
Yeah, he did.
In 2012, he ranked number 9 on Guitar World's 100 Greatest Guitarists of All Time, and it was a reader's poll. And in 2013, he was named the Greatest Metal Guitarist of All Time by Loudwire.
Wow.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
in 2015, he was ranked as the most influential metal guitarist of the past 25 years by VH1.
Is VH1 still a thing?
I don't think it is still
I don't think it is. And I don't even know. Is MTV even a thing?
Yeah, but like they don't do, you know.
They don't do shit on there anymore.
Now, every year, there is a concert in memory of Dimebag Daryl titled Dimebash. And is held annually every year since 2010.
Yep.
All of the proceeds go towards Ronnie James Dio's Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund. Performers include Dave Grohl, Kerry King, Robin Flynn, Tom Morello, and I can't pronounce that name. So.
Musicians. Yeah.
So that is the story of Dimebag Daryl.
Oh, man. It's so tragic.
Yeah. And there was a lot about all of, you know, the people who passed. And
yeah.
It was just, like...
It's a sad story.
He didn't even see it fucking coming. No.
But you know what? That's probably better.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be honest with you. You know, to be shot in the head.
3 times.
Yeah. It's probably better he didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, the venue. It had a capacity of 600, but only sold 250 tickets.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's right before Christmas and, you know.
Yeah, true. Shit. But still, I mean... I thought Damage Plan was a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, maybe they were getting there.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I got their album right away when it came out.
I'm not surprised by that. So.
Yeah.
Just so sad.
It is.
Like, so sad all around. Because, like, obviously, this man had severe mental health issues.
Yeah.
That
should have been taken care of long ago.
Right. And I mean, you can't really blame everybody around him, but like things are not normal. When your buddy tells you that Pantera's in their head, taking their thoughts and making them into lyrics.
And is dead serious about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, come on.
Yeah. So, just very sad all around, you know?
All right. Well, I appreciate you doing that one because I especially wanted to hear it. Yes, so I hope you guys all enjoyed that one. Our next episode is going to be a Patreon exclusive. So if you want to be a Patreon, go to www.patreon.com/deathdoaspart, the number one.
Oneaters.
Oneaters. We do that every fucking time.
So are we going to tell them what it's on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oscar Pistorius.
It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one.
Because he's out.
He's out. He's yeah. Out. So.
Poor little tink tink.
Yeah. Tink tink.
Tink tink. Yep.
So, yeah. So, please, whatever platform you listen to us on, hit that 5-star liking. Tell your family. Tell your friends. And we will be talking.
The dog knows we're done.
Yeah. Yep. He's saying hello.
Get.
And. We will be talking to you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.